We have told Australia that Cambodia will consider very seriously the request of Australia, because before there were many Cambodians seeking asylum outside Cambodia throughout the world, but now might be it's time for Cambodia to accept some of the foreign refugees in Cambodia.
So how come such a country which has so the dramatic problem in ensuring decent living conditions for their own people could accommodate refugees?
That's both sides of the argument you heard there. The Cambodian Foreign Minister, Hor Nam Hong, confirming that Australia requested his country to consider taking asylum seekers, but then also concerns raised by the Cambodian opposition leader, Sam Rainsy, about how Cambodia, an independent or an aid-dependent country, I should say, could offer protection to those refugees. Joining me now to share their thoughts is Virak U, who's president of Cambodia's Centre for Human Rights. Virak U, thank you very much for speaking to us. Do you think that Cambodia would be in a position to accept asylum seekers?
Well, I don't think Cambodia is in the position to accept asylum seekers, but also there's a few reasons. One, Cambodia as a poor country is not capable to host asylum seekers. Second, neither the government has the political will to properly protect asylum seekers. And I think third, I think the past records on how we treat refugees, particularly political refugees, I think has been horrible. It's a poor past track record. I don't think Australia, as a responsible country, can rely on Cambodia to defend the rights of refugees. And I think the past record has been obvious. When Cambodia was under pressure, particularly by Vietnam in relation to some of the religious refugees during the 1990s, we crumbled. We sent Uyghurs back. I mean, we sent the Muslim back to Vietnam when the Uyghurs tried to seek refuge in Cambodia. China put pressure on the Cambodian government, and the Cambodian government has sent the Uyghurs back, and we failed in our obligations in the past. So we don't have the capacity, we don't have the political will. Our track record has been horrible.
Right, but I would assume, and we don't know the details of the discussions or indeed the proposal, but I would assume that this would come with support from Australia and money. And so there would be some connection with aid or something, some other kind of investment in the country. Wouldn't that be enough to ensure that Cambodia does live up to its obligations because it would have an interest in making sure that it does?
Cambodia is no stranger to receiving foreign aid. We have received billions of dollars from multiple countries since the 1990s. And many of the foreign aid, particularly from the Western countries, has the conditionalities of protection of human rights and promotion of democracy inside Cambodia. We also are no stranger in receiving foreign aid without the so-called conditionalities, including these foreign money coming from China, the Chinese government or Vietnamese government, as well as some other governments, less democratic governments as well. But I think in Australia trying to use money to strike a deal with Cambodia to accept, quote-unquote, its own problems, I think it's absurd. And I don't know whether it's a laugh or a cry at this proposal by the Australian government, but also it's a complete denial of its own responsibility to protect refugees.
Right, well,
which is actually has the obligation.
The criticisms of Australia, I understand, and they've been made in the past, but I'm interested just in Cambodia's response here. I might just ask you finally, do you think, or what exactly is in it for Cambodia? If what you're saying is they don't have the capacity, they're used to receiving aid money anyway, so that won't necessarily make much of a difference, then why would Cambodia even be entertaining this?
Well, Cambodia can entertain anything for money, and we accept a lot of things just for money, except for if it's not convenient to foreign governments, or it's not convenient to the ruling, the grips of the ruling party on the country. So that's not new. We see ways Cambodian government know how to deal with foreign aid quite well, and at the same time not improving on some of the nice record it has claimed to be promoting with these aid. So that's one. I think money is a factor, but I think the main second factor in the deal is the fact that after the July election, the main opposition party in this country make a huge gain, and since then the opposition has claimed victory and disputed the election results. The current Cambodian government, the current Cambodian mandate, this government in this mandate yearns for legitimacy, and the legitimacy they don't get from the Cambodian people, they try to get from the Western government, and they've been trying to seek support from foreign governments, including those in the West, in Europe, in the U.S., as well as in Australia. And I think that's part of the unannounced deal. And that is probably a Cambodian government, except some of the refugee, quote-unquote, some of the Australia, quote-unquote, problems. And at the same time, maybe the Australian government is willing to suspend the legitimacy of this government as well. I think that's something that the current Cambodian government speaks most.
Well, a lot remains to be seen, including the details of any such deal if it were to emerge. But it's a very interesting thing for us to think about in the meantime. Virak U, thank you very much for your time and for your thoughts. He's the president of Cambodia's Centre for Human Rights speaking to us. There, apologies for the quality of the line. We did our best with it. Of course, we were speaking overseas, and sometimes that's a risk that you take. But good to get a Cambodian perspective from inside the country.